Blog Talk Radio.
Conviction to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
What's up, everybody? Stephen Bubble here, Bozilla, if you will. Thank you for tuning in with us on a Sunday afternoon, almost evening. I want to know, it's like one of the first times I did a Sunday show in a while, but I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm pretty sure what we're going to have today is something that you guys will really get a kick and listen to, because the gentleman I'm about to bring on has a story to tell, and it's what's going on in institutions all over this country now. We're talking about imprisonment for people who would say wasn't really should have been in prison now. If he's there, come on in and introduce yourself, sir.
Not yet, sir. Oh, I think I got him. I got him.
Okay, we'll put him on in. But I want to, this is a situation where that's going on in America today.
Nui.
What's up,
yeah,
man? Go ahead.
It's Nui.
My fault, man. You're
online. All right. What's going on, man? Go ahead and introduce yourself, my brother. Introduce yourself to everybody who's listening.
Hey, man. I'm Lewis Scott. I'm 27 years of age. I've been incarcerated for 8 years. And I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God turned my situation around for me. And even though it's a dark place, I believe there looks light. Can shine in other people's lives. I've been able to do that at an awesome capacity. Ultimately, I'm here today to tell my story about the conviction and how I was wrongfully convicted and how they basically strategically handled and mishandled paperwork to convict me of a crime that never had taken place.
Mm-hmm. What state is this in, my friend?
It was Alabama.
Alabama.
Good old,
you know,
Alabama.
There's a lot of good stuff that happens in Alabama that I've heard of. A lot of prisons do the same thing that you're going through. And like I said, when I opened up the show, it's going all over the country. But my thing is this. Your story right now is something that needs to be told, because you're inside them walls for something that you didn't do, right?
Exactly. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. Well, go right ahead and tell us all about it. You don't have to tell us about your case. You just tell us what you want us to know. And like I said, I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury. But I want you to preach your gospel, man. Go ahead. Tell us all.
Okay, then. Well, first off, I have factual evidence, paperwork in black and white to prove everything that I'm about to say. Okay, well, in this trial, as soon as I go in the courtroom with this, a court-appointed attorney, I so to speak, fired. I wrote the circuit clerk and fired him. I wrote the judge and fired him. Then I basically went up another notch and wrote the Alabama State Bar and tried to get the man off of my case, because he was saying things like, you're black and she's white. We're here in Baldwin County, Alabama. We're going to go in the courtroom and get our butts, so to speak, handed to us. And he was so unprofessional and began to use foul language so many times. I was like, look, this dude is not going to fight for me, especially when he even thought to bring up race. You know, I lived in Foley, Alabama, for like my whole life. And so I understand the ratio. I understand what I went through growing up in school and stuff, and my grandmother being white, and, you know, and my friends being basically Caucasians. I went through a lot of different things, but I already know what it is. So you don't have to mention that to me unless you're seeing it from that type of view and channeling how you're going to work even before we even step up into the courtroom, you know. So it was a lot of different things. I'm going to take a step by step. I want to just basically make an illustration and paint a picture to you about this lawyer. I asked him for my motion of discovery. The motion of discovery is something that the clients are the clients are required to have. That's the evidence or the whole claim of the case that they have against you. He said that, quote, unquote, he said that I don't know what other attorneys are doing or giving them their paperwork for, but I don't give my paperwork to my client. This is crazy. But he did describe, he was like, man, I don't have any evidence, this and that. And this is at a rope. They borrow him. He acting like he getting in compliance, not like, hey, they don't have any evidence, and we're going there at the least we'll come out of there with a misdemeanor. But, you know, he's just saying that now to basically reel me into the courtroom and reel me into trial so he could just basically allow these people to have their way with me. And he tried his best to get me to sign my life off to 25 years to a raise. And he had the paperwork right in front of me that said, we tested for semen, however none was found. We tested for blood, however none was found. We tested for hair suitable for the victim and on the defendant, vice versa. They didn't find anything whatsoever to say that anyone was raped. All right, let's go on a little bit further here. Okay, so I end up going to trial with this lawyer that I done fired and basically filed something in his jacket or filed something in his record against him. Like, we're not friends, right? So I go in the courtroom with the enemy representing me. So we step in there, and you know how you have the jury pool or the jury selection? It's 35 people to choose from. Remember, the alleged crime happened in the city called Foley, Alabama. It was 35 people to choose from, 3 blacks, and 32 whites. So
it's a monkey court. It's a monkey court already.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is like, it's sad. So you're going to tell me that a computer picked all them people like that? And not only that, Brother Stevens, 2 police officers from that same city stood up. One of them stood up and said, hey, I'm a corporal from Foley, Alabama. On the Foley Police Department, I've been there for 13 years. Another guy stood up and said, hey, I'm a sergeant. I've been there for 7 years. Like, okay, everybody that's about to testify against me is a victim in the Foley Police Department. So why are y'all trying to even be on the jury? You one-sided right here. And then they have a section or they have a selection or basically a segment where they ask you and the jury, they say, hey, have any of y'all experienced this same type of crime that happened to y'all? Any of y'all houses been burglarized? You know someone that had ever been raped or whatnot? You had 28 of them that stood up and was giving so horrible testimony. One guy said that, hey, a man broke into my house, raped my daughter, this and that, kidnapped her, then went and killed her, then killed himself. I'm like, okay, man, you need to be at an altar somewhere praying. You don't need to be up here trying to be on my jury, you know. So
right.
It's so many different things. So many people stood up and they were like, hey, if he doesn't get up and testify, so I'm not going to be scared. I automatically rule with her no matter what. And if I can give you this lady, the victim was 77 years old, she's deaf, and you know, so the magic people like, oh, this old, poor, white woman. And
right.
my grandmother being, let's see, 72 years old, you know, staying wherever she's staying at right now, and she's, you know, I don't want nobody harming my grandma, but it's my heart right there. And I know that people had this assumption before they even came in the courtroom, like, oh, man, this is an animal. Who would do this? Who would do this? Okay.
Right.
Let's move a little further. So into the trial, I end up with 11 whites and one black. So the trial, it seemed as if it's going okay. And then the nurse got on the stand, and it seemed like it was going off to me. Like, hey, the nurse said that the lady's vaginal area was grossly normal. Grossly normal meaning that it hadn't been touched. Now, remember, she's 77 years old at the time. She probably had been cut off from probably maybe 25, maybe 30 years. Ain't no telling from having sex. You telling me that a 19-year-old young black male penetrated her and raped her. Not only that, they say that I choked her, beat her, then raped her. But the DA, being a snake that she is, still to this day, if she ain't repented, and I'm pretty sure she's still doing the same things and pulling different schemes and manipulating people's lives still to this day, because this prison is full with cases like this, my brother. I'm not the only one. I'm speaking and testifying on behalf of people all over this nation, man. I just thank God for the opportunity that I had to cry out right here. But the DA strategically hid the forensic science evidence, said that the forensic scientist was on vacation, and therefore she did not introduce any of the forensic science evidence into the trial. So they built the whole case off of he say, she say, and they never brought any of my alleged alibi to court. They allowed the police officers to say that they interviewed my alibi witnesses, and they said that each individual said that they were not with me from this time to this time, and they all painted me out to be a liar, which was all hearsay, and which my lawyer didn't even say objection to this hearsay. Hearsay should never even come across that courtroom like that without it being, you know, attested. This man did not cross-examine the victim. He didn't ask one question. He just let – no question, Your Honor. Yeah, and let her come down from the stand, and, like, whatever she said was going to stick in their ears because he didn't debunk her. If you look at my paperwork clearly, it says in her statements that night, it says that the defendant drug her down to the ground and attempted to penetrate her three times. Then it says that he rubbed his penis up against her three times. Then it says in trial that he penetrated her halfway and got left. Now, you know, okay, this don't make sense.
Right,
on
right.
On the news, they have a whole different story. So they just really... Before I step into the courtroom, they already like, okay, we finna hang him. Almost literally, because they gave me what you call a life sentence. My EOS date, I don't receive it now. In the name of Jesus, I do not receive it. Jesus is the one who gave me life. Can't no judge give me life. But that paperwork says 12/31/9999, saying that basically it's over with. This is where you're going to be stuck at unless you make parole in Alabama, which is about, I'm talking about basically impossible right now with the people that they have over it. And I've seen guys in here recently, they come up and they deny for no reason. They got all the classes in the world. They don't have any disciplinaries for like 10 years, 15 years, and then they deny them when they have good behavior and say, oh, you beating the system. So it's so crazy down here in Alabama, man, and to the people listening with all these name tags and titles that you are this, you are an innocent project representative, or you're a lawyer that fights for people, the wrongful convicted, please just don't wear that title. God put you in that position to fight and to do the right thing, so step up and don't wear the tag, but be the tag. Huh? Come on. You know, amen. So, you know, man, God intervened in my life in here, and like I said, I've been preaching the gospel for 7.5 years. And that is what's been keeping my sanity in here, you know, day in and day out. Sometimes they have to pull back from thinking so negative and fast and pray and get into the word even harder.
Of course.
Up at 3 o'clock in the morning and get in there and just be like, God, help me. help me, because I know ultimately I'm doing your will even here, but I desire to be with my wife and my kids. I desire to have the opportunity to get in my own
exactly.
to drive to work and do the different things that a man has to experience. I've been locked up for 8 years, from 19 to 27, and I have not did any drugs. I don't smoke cigarettes. I drink coffee. That's not too much of a habit there. I drink 2 cups of coffee a day, maybe. And you know, man, I inspire these guys in here, man. Look, ain't no hope in the dope. It's one of my messages I always preach. I say, ain't no hope in the dope. They have these different drugs that they are partaking, and it makes their mind, it brings their thinking down and make you not want to get up and go to the law library and find out what the First Amendment is, your 14th Amendment. It don't want to allow you to fight to get back out there to your daughters and your sons that you left out there. So every time I get an opportunity to preach or I get the mic, I try to stir up the men, guess what, to get up out of here or to strive for the better, because that's what they designed this for, is for you to give up. Nah, ain't no giving up right here, man. You got to fight. So ultimately, I know it's all going to turn around for my good. And I can say this on real talk, like here lately, I believe the enemy been trying to attack my mind so many different ways, because I've been doing podcasts for like 4 months now, and I haven't seen any change. And that goes back to where I'm like, okay, these people tuning in and running, listening to these talk shows, man, who's going to help? Who is who's going to step up and allow God to channel a blessing into, I don't have $30,000. I don't have $20,000. You know, a lawyer told my dad, say, hey, I know you want your son out bad, but as bad as you want him out, is as bad as I want the $25,000. And that's real.
Because
I know he's going to walk into the courtroom, he's going to give the DA $10,000, he's going to give the judge $10,000, and he's going to keep $5,000. Oh, I ain't going to preach it like that. Now, they gonna poop me up off of him. So, yes, sir. But ultimately, I have paperwork. I have paperwork that was hidden. Okay, so let me ask you this, Brother Steve. If the DA had read that paperwork beforehand and it said positive, do you think she would have brought that into the courtroom? Yes. Ain't no doubt about it. She would have brought everything into the courtroom to prove, to convict me of this. But since it proves my innocence and could basically exonerate me, she hid it on purpose. Now, watch God right here. So after I was convicted, they gave me a license. They sent me to prison. I filed a direct appeal with the court-appointed lawyer down there in Fairhope, Alabama. And after she fights and does whatever she can do, she sent me all my paperwork, and I skimmed through it carefully. And about 143 pages in, I see at the top of this paper that's forensic science test results. This woman's lab test came back the same year. They came back way before trial, and every one of them had access to those files. Now, another thing, the hospital exams for the rape kit and all the things of that nature, you know, it's different. It's different from like the rape kit and the forensic science test and all that. It's different labs. So the rape kit test and the sexual assault basically test was took in place in I believe South Baldwin, and the nurse that took that test, remember, she took the stand, said it was grossly normal and stuff. When I got that paperwork, it's like somebody has put something over that paper so you can't read a single word from about 15 pages of these picked-out documents. Yeah, picked out. Like, everything before that is clear, everything after that is clear. But this right here that says that this woman, her vaginal area was grossly normal, and that the sexual assault kit came back negative. You can't even hardly read that, because they placed something either over the copy machine or they did something on the copy machine where it's all gray and black, and you cannot read it whatsoever.
Wow.
It's deep.
Man, this almost sounds like a scary movie, man, for real. Sounds like something you would see on Lifetime or something like that, because it doesn't even make any sense. Any lawyer, any top lawyer, even a lawyer doesn't even have a degree out of Cracker Jack will find that, that you can't hold that against nobody. That's just crazy. That's ridiculous, man. Oh my God. Man, keep on going, man. Because you know, right now you're telling me things that you know. If I know some people that I could get some people to help you look through your case, I'm gonna see if we can find some people because enough is something that needs to be told because you're doing something, you're doing time for something that you didn't even do.
Exactly.
Now, is there an innocent project in Alabama?
Man, I heard of it, but I've never heard of them getting results.
Doing anything.
Ooh, I've never, okay. I mean, I've been in here, watch this, I've been in here 8 years. I haven't heard of one time.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard of it one time, my brother, them getting somebody out of prison.
And, then, you know, like I said, I hate to tell people this, but, you know, we're getting close to election time, especially if it comes back in your favor. It's going to make the whole system look corrupt, and it should come back in your favor because there's no way you can find guilty for something like that. Especially, I read it, and there's nothing there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, I read it. There's nothing there. And like you said, if this was an up and up attorney, not a public pretender, a public defender, we need somebody who's going to come in here and go to bat for this young man because his life is just as important like your life. He wants to go home to his family. He has kids who want to see him. He has a wife who wants to see him. So here's the whole thing is, people, we need to come together as an organization, as people, to fight for this because this young man has been in prison for something he did not do. Trust me, I know how it is when you go to prison. I've been inside. Everybody knows my story. But like I said, I agree with you, man. I got your back. If there's anything I can do to try to find something that can help you, if I know some people out there, people who listen to my show, I know I'm just now starting getting contact with lawyers and getting people who belong in the upper up, that 1%. And we all know what that 1% is. If people can listen to this case, listen to my show, and look into it and see what this man is talking about because the truth is right there. If there's truth in a case, it's right there. You don't even have to look for it. It's right there in front of you. I saw it. The thing he sent me, I saw it. And I'm not even a lawyer yet. I saw it. And come on, man. You can't send a man to prison just for some hearsay. I think he did it. Come on now. That's just too much. It's so easy to send a black man to jail for something like that. It's so easy for that. That's automatic termination. If you do a crime and they don't know if you did or not, if you're black, you're going to get it. I agree. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying because it's just not right. Because right now, man, your life, according to them, well, we don't even want to even talk to him no more. He's got life in prison. He does have a life, guys. Come on. You can't take that man's life for something he didn't do. And everybody who listens to this show, please pray for this brother, man. We need him out here because his story can help somebody else who's thinking about doing something stupid, and they're going to get locked up, and then you're like, Lord, I need to refill my life because I'm not going to go this way. I'm not going to go this way because this can happen to me.
Come on. Yeah,
yep.
See, Brother Steven, I ain't mean to interrupt you. That's what I plan on doing when I get out of here. I want to get hints and go out. My wife is a great, awesome cook, praise God, and she made, you know, a little styrofoam plate. Went to get her out in the park and stuff and, you know, let her cook and do her thing. And then I preach the gospel. I also do a little bit of rapping. So Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become what? Fishermen of men. So I use the gospel rap to bait and catch the youth and then preach. Pray for them.
Right.
And pray against strongholds. Pray against generational curses. Pray that they don't have to come down the path that I went down. Because I know good and well God allowed me to come through here, but it isn't just only for me. It's for someone that was basically headed down the wrong path in life that needs to get restored and that needs to basically have this thing imparted into them that God had better for your life. If you out there running the streets, playing around, hustling with dope,
You went dope, man. Guess what? The system is not playing. You need to repent and give your life to the Lord Jesus, because he is the one that can give you faith, hallelujah, hope, and belief to give you this
unchanging right.
drive for the things the legal way in life. If a man don't work,
that's so true.
Not eat. That's right.
Come on now. Come on now. And like I said, man can't live off a commissary alone. You ain't lying about that, bro. I know about that story. But
I'm telling you, man,
that's how it goes, bro. But like I'm saying, anybody who's out there, if you know anybody who could get in contact with the Alabama Innocent Project, tell them look up the Bozilla Talk Radio Show. Look me up, Stephen Bobo, on Facebook and inbox me. And please, let's get this young man the help that he deserves. He deserves to have his case heard on a jury that's not a hung jury, not a monkey court, where we have even everybody who's going to be evenly extended out, black and white on the court. Don't have one black person and the rest white. Keep it real. That's
say.
Like, okay, let's say this. If you're white, if you're Caucasian, and we have all black jury, how would you feel? I'll wait.
All black jury.
Man, come on now.
What do they do?
You have a black.
What
well, right. I'm just saying if that's the case, because how many young black men and black women have gone to court and the jury that they fit is all white and they're black, a black person that's fixing a white jury. That's enough right there to make you like, oh Lord, I know what's getting ready to happen. So, you know, you're already going into that attitude saying that's going to happen because you're going against a battle that you're going to have to fight. And everything you have to fight for, that right there is something that you shouldn't have to fight for. It all has to be evenly done. If I lose, make me lose because I deserve to lose. Now, don't make me lose. Don't build me up to lose.
That's right.
Come on now. Come on now. But, man, right. I think we got 3 minutes left, man, so – I would love to have you back on the show another time, and we will definitely keep in contact.
Is there any way that I can? Is there any way I can pray? I want to pray.
Oh, go ahead, get it out, man. Go ahead, sir.
Amen. Father God, I thank you for Brother Stephen, Lord. I thank you for what you are doing in his life. I thank you for the anointing. Hallelujah, that rests upon his life. I thank you for that mantle that he is walking in, Lord. I thank you for just increasing, hallelujah, this radio show as ever before, God. I pray, hallelujah, that you would just elevate this man of God, Lord, that I could see everything that he touches would be blessed from this day forward, Lord. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over his mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over him and his household, Lord God. No weapon formed against this man of God shall prosper, God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I intercede today on the behalf of this nation, Lord God, the people that are locked away in prisons, Lord God, the men and the women, Lord God, that are striving every day, hallelujah, to get their story out. I thank you for just opening a door of opportunity for them, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you would just give us hope like never before in this season, Lord God, as we sit back and watch the news as coronavirus strikes people, Lord God, and coronavirus trying to come against our families, Lord God, and different things going on every day. Hallelujah, us getting Dear John letters, people getting letters, Lord God, that somebody that died or, hallelujah, a son or a child been taken by DHR. Lord God, I pray, hallelujah, that you would just give us the strength and the courage, Lord God, to keep moving forward, Lord God. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with us. Lord God, we thank you for being with us. You promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. So we thank you, hallelujah, that you would just give us that comfort that we need, hallelujah, that we throw in the towel, but that we would draw from your grace like never before in this season. We can, hallelujah, just be motivated to be, hallelujah, who you called us to be, even in a place like this, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, for using whoever you may see fit, Lord God, whether it be Donald Trump, whether it be mayors, whether it be, hallelujah, lawyers, whether it be judges, Lord God. You said that the king's heart is in the Lord's hands, and as the river of water, you turn it, whether so ever you will. Hallelujah. Turn their heart, Lord God, so they can turn the key, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate it. You guys, if you guys have any way to help this young man, please inbox with me, get back with me, and we will definitely try to get him some help. My brother, I love it, man. I want to do another show with you, man, and we will stay in contact like we do. So, man, keep your head up, man. Like I said, you got my address. Write me, man, because I don't want you to get in trouble. And write me, man. I'll write you back, and that's how we can roll things out, man.
All
All right, guys. I
will do. God bless you, Steve.
10 seconds. God bless you, my brother. 10 seconds, guys. Bozilla is out. Until next week, we meet again. God bless. Stay positive. Keep your head up. And let's work. God bless y'all. Good night.